Dr. Gubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, what a privilege, what a wonderful privilege it is to know the Lord Jesus, to belong to God the Father, to recognize and understand that we have been born into the family of God through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the gospel, which is the fact that Christ died for our sin, that he was buried, and that he arose from the grave, victor over death, over hell, over the grave, and over Satan and his forces of evil. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to know that through Jesus Christ, we too can have victory to live to his honor, his glory, and his praise, and to live victoriously over Satan, the world system, and our old flesh with indwelling sin. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know God the Father as our Heavenly Father, to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is a true fact concerning every born-again believer, every individual who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is. And we're talking about new birth blessings, and we're talking about the blessing of eternal life and the benefit of the abundant life that the Lord wants for every child of God, that he desires to be a reality in every one of our life. So as David wrote, "My cup runneth over," there in Psalm 23:5. The more abundant life is spoken of as much more in the Word of God. Over and again, he speaks of much more, abundantly more. If God so clothe the grass of the field, won't he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And we've talked about his provision. We've talked about his protection. And we're talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord said, "How much more shall your Father give good things to them that love him?" in Matthew 7:7-11. And in Luke 11:13, he talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is a gift that every child of God receives at salvation. As we've already mentioned, John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's the spiritual part of man that is born again by the Holy Spirit moving into our spirit to do the work of salvation and making our spirit his dwelling place, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, our body becomes the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He moves into our spirit and does the work of salvation. And thus in our spirit is where we are justified and declared righteous before God, which we will get into later in our study and consider and think about these things. But right now we're just briefly thinking about the Spirit-filled life in Ephesians chapter 5, and we've been talking about husband and wife relationship and how the husband is to love his wife in three ways. He's to love her spiritually, he's to love her physically, and he's to love her psychologically and emotionally, as himself, verse 33 of Ephesians 5. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And then he talks about one more requirement for the Spirit-filled wife. Now, it's interesting that he puts the emphasis on the husband, because the husband is the head of the wife, as we saw in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so the husband's responsibility is great. Many times we preachers may emphasize the submission of the wife, but we fail to really emphasize the headship of the husband and the responsibility that goes along with being the head of the home. And it's a grave responsibility that God's going to hold us accountable for when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. And so a husband is to love his wife three ways. As we've seen already, he's to love her spiritually as Christ loved the church. He's to love her to the point he's willing to give himself for her. He's to love her as he loves his own body, verse 28. And he's to love her as he loves himself, verse 33. And so the three ways a husband is to love his wife as the head of the wife. And beloved, if a man loves his wife in these three ways, you can be sure his wife will be willing to submit to her husband's headship and will reverence and honor her husband. That's the second thing that God requires of the Spirit-filled wife. First, that she submit to her husband's headship and his leadership. And secondly, that she reverence or honors her husband. Now remember, God gave we men a huge ego. He made us that way. And when a wife will honor her husband's ego, when she will build up his ego, when she will show respect and honor to her husband, then, oh, that really builds up the husband's ego, and that will make him want to be a better husband, to love her more, to cherish her, to honor her. And so we reciprocate, we get what we give. And the wife is a responder. And that's why the Lord tells the husband to love his wife in three ways. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself, because we reap what we sow. As we read there in verse 28, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. And so it's to the benefit of both husband and wife to be spirit-filled and to fulfill their role as God requires in the husband-wife relationship. Then in chapter 6 and verse 1, he moves on to parent-child relationship. Number 1 relationship is husband and wife. Number 2 relationship is parent and child. And then, as we will see, the number 3 responsibility is the work. And this is so many times the mistake that we men of God make. We put the emphasis on the work above everything else, to the hurt of our family, to the hurt of our children, and to the dishonoring of the name of God. And so, beloved, if only we'd get our priorities right. And that's so important. And that's what he shows us here in this passage of Scripture. The priorities of the man of God. The first priority is his wife. The second priority is his children. And then the third priority is his work. And, of course, our first priority for every child of God is their relationship with Almighty God. And that's why every father, every husband, every wife, every mother needs to have a time of fellowship with the Lord and focus on their personal relationship with Almighty God. This is of utmost importance. because as a husband is submissive to the Lord, he will honor his wife, and he will love his wife in the three ways that God intends. He will be Spirit-filled as he submits and yields to the Holy Spirit of God and spends time in the Word of God and in communion and fellowship with the Lord. And so that's why this is vital, our personal relationship with the Lord, and then our relationship with our wife, our relationship with our children, and then comes the work. And so notice he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You see the blessing that comes from doing things God's way. We children are to honor and respect our parents. As children growing up, we are to obey them, we're to listen to them, we're to respect them, and we're to honor them. And God says there's a blessing that goes along with doing that, that it may be well with us, and that we may live long on the earth, because a godly father or mother will love their child, will seek what's best for the child, and the child will learn to honor and respect their parents. God will bless them for it. God will reward them for it. For there's a promise that it may go well with them, and they may live long on the earth. And so we see the responsibility of children being taught by their parents to love the Lord and to honor them by not spoiling the child, by not letting the child get away with showing dishonor and disrespect to the parent. This is a part of a parent's responsibility, is to teach the child to honor and respect them, to not be running over them or trying to run the household. This is one of the problems of our nation today, is children running the household instead of parents being in charge and in control, disciplining the children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition and ways of the Lord. And so, as a child learns to obey his parents, he's learning to obey God. And it's a basic principle, the principle of authority. Now, we'll discuss more about this the next time. Till then, the Lord bless you and goodbye.